Hello and welcome to the Building Better Leaders podcast, brought to you by Scaffold Coaching. I'm Rachel Sullivan.
And I'm John Tattersall.
Hello and welcome to Building Better Leaders. It's wonderful to be back in the new year. It's 2022 and we're joined by Andrew Robshaw, who is Managing Director of Value Synergistics Limited and author of the book Thankonomics. So today we're going to be talking to Andrew about appreciation and how to measure value as it's created. So welcome, Andrew, to the podcast.
Thank you both for your warm welcome, and I look forward to telling you about my book and the concept of Thankonomics.
Hi, Andrew, and hello to our listeners. Just to reiterate that because Andrew has Parkinson's and some of his speech is a little bit slurred, for parts of this podcast where we get into a flow of conversation and I feel like you might not be able to understand Andrew, I will just repeat what he said. It's not that I'm jumping in and being rude, Andrew.
Perfect, thank you.
You're very welcome. So go on, introduce yourselves to our podcast listeners. Tell us a little bit about where you've worked before, your personal journey of having Parkinson's, and where this phenomenal book came from and the ideas that you've been researching for the past decade or two.
Yeah, of course. I started out as something called a yuppie, which stands for Young Up-and-Coming Professionals. I was based in the City of London, and I started as a trainee commodity trader. However, having decided it wasn't for me, especially as one of the directors once told me, if I had any morals, to leave them at home, which was absolutely ruthless, I then moved to France and set up a logistics company delivering camping equipment across Europe. It was during this period of running my logistics business in France, I felt there were some fundamental rules to business that we were overlooking. And in the year 2000, I closed down my company and went to London Business School. Then, as a Sloan Fellow in the years 2000 to 2003, I developed the concept base of this project called Thankonomics. So I produced some software to help me realise my project, measuring value and motivation within organisations. That was 20 years ahead of its time, but people could not understand what I was trying to achieve. So from then on, my focus was to help people understand. I then emigrated to Chile and started as the general manager of the British Chilean Chamber of Commerce. During my time at the British Chamber, I played a leading role in setting up BRITLAN, the organisation representing the 22 chambers in Latin America. I also ran the Australian and Norwegian binational chambers of commerce. But when I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, I lost my job, which was a real pain. But it allowed me to focus on Thankonomics. Fast forward to 2020, I was fortunate enough to have a successful deep brain stimulation operation, which gave me back my life and allowed me to commit full-time to Thankonomics.
When was this, Andrew? 2003, you'd created some software after having been to London Business School, but it was a little bit ahead of his time. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I presented the ideas to large multinational companies, such as Shell, Novartis, Pirelli, and Cisco. And although measuring motivation is now standard practice in most of these organisations, 20 years ago, they couldn't comprehend why you had to measure motivation. They couldn't understand the benefits and couldn't understand how it would help the company. This was very frustrating to me because I could see the positive impacts it was going to have.
So you were diagnosed with Parkinson's while you were in Chile, and then you moved back to the UK.
That's right, yeah.
And dealt with the diagnosis. Once you got your head around that, focused on researching about motivation again, is that correct?
Yes. Coming to terms with my diagnosis and being let go from my job allowed me to fine-tune the theory behind Thankonomics. The path to making Thankonomics a reality was so much easier following my brain operation.
What was life like for you before you had that operation?
Well, to sum it up, I'd say blocked. I'm fortunate enough not to have the terrible trembling that is so much associated to Parkinson's. I don't tremble, but I block. It's a strange effect when the brain takes over control of your body. It is like you're reaching for an object and you're going to knock another object off. In these circumstances, your brain takes over control of your body and blocks you from continuing the action. Before the operation, physically, I couldn't move in at least 5 life-threatening situations, the worst of which was when I went to the toilet during the night and fell over and was stuck in the bathroom for 17 hours, resulting in 7 days in hospital, including 3 days of intensive care and narrowly avoiding a complete kidney failure.
I just want to, you know, share with our listeners just how inspirational you are. For anybody that hasn't been to the gym today, you've cycled here to record this podcast. How long was the cycle ride to get here?
About 45 minutes.
I'm in awe. You've rocked up on your bike and then you're here to talk about your book. So let's just jump into it. You're here to talk about the book, Thankonomics.
Yeah.
How long exactly did it take you to write it?
I don't know how long it has taken to write, but it is an accumulation of 25 years researching concepts that we take for granted in business and economics, such as value, money and appreciation.
Is this the actual crux of the book then, Andrew? It's about how we thought we measured value, but you're looking at it now through a completely different lens that says value is more around appreciation. Is that the crux of the book?
Essentially, yes. Appreciation is the key and much overlooked element of value. The trouble with the current system is that there's no overall method to assess value. That was acceptable when we didn't have the technology, but now we do. There are essentially two kinds of value, numerical and subjective. Numerical is a fact. It's a statement of absolute reality. It usually is not associated to productive output. Subjective value is an individual's assessment of all decisions where there is an expectation of outcome. If the subjective decision appears to or does exceed expectations, there is a desire to TRR the decision, to take, repeat, and recommend the decision. The excess over expectations results in a directly proportional release of dopamine into the reward centre of the brain, the nucleus accumbens. This is the biological proof of the perception of value. The power of this dopamine release is shown by an experiment carried out on a live rat. Its brain was wired up to a lever, releasing a shot of dopamine every time it hit the lever. Once connected, the rat stopped all other activities, including drinking, playing, eating, until it collapsed. If we consider the characteristics of value, five characteristics, that it's subjective to the individual, it's transient, it changes with circumstances, it's dynamic, it changes according to your circumstances, it's ubiquitous, it's in all places, and it's bilateral, value is created on both sides of the equation. None are covered by the current system. We currently have it the wrong way around. It should be that the buyer is the person that gives the value, not the seller. Appreciation of the excess over expectations is the true and accurate assessment of value. If you don't appreciate it, it has no value. Or if you're not appreciated, you stop doing the activity. Appreciation is value. And if money is supposed to represent value, money should be a measure of appreciation. And that is the essence of Thankonomics. So, how do you measure appreciation? We actually do it all the time, using the 5-star Likert scale. Often, when we have used a service or a product, we are asked to review our experience. That rating is our subjective appreciation of the product or service. It is also the assessment of intangible value that influences future transactions. The subsequent buyer is directly influenced by the previous buyers to opt for the higher rated service or product. Eventually, with enough data, the star system will become an absolute system, showing that a 5-star product or service will earn more profit, have a higher income, a lower staff turnover, and will be more innovative than a 4-star rated product or service. If you can use the system to assess businesses, you can use the same system to assess people. For example, the Glassdoor's recruitment website allows past and present employees to assess their CEOs. A 5-star rated CEO will be preferred over a 1-star, and so will have preferential access to the best employees. This in turn will result with enough data to an absolute assessment of a 5-star CEO earning more income, having a higher profit, happier employees, greater productivity than a 4-star CEO. If you can use the system to measure CEOs, you can use the system to measure any employee. You can use it to measure any organisation, for profit or not profit. In fact, any time you have an expectation of outcome, you can use the system to assess any interaction or transaction. This system will assess value production equally well in commercial organisations or not-for-profit, the front office or back office. Unlike the present accounting and economic system, this method will assess value constantly, accurately, and in real time. It is also a highly precise predictor of future organisational success. This system will be the method of measuring value anywhere in the new Thankonomics paradigm.
I think that's a wonderful point that you've just landed on there, Andrew, about how the assessment of value changes both pre and post-purchase, and that value is the excess of expectation. That's essentially the crux of what Thankonomics is about. What particularly would you like to elaborate on?
I think it's important to note that it's the excess over expectations, not just meeting the expectations. It is the excess that results in the reward. The error made by current economics says that utility, i.e. satisfaction, is value. However, if that was the case, there would be no need to innovate, as we would always be happy.
Right, this is making a lot of sense to me now. So traditional economics is very much focused on the law of diminishing marginal returns, which is what you taught at economics school, and businesses look at that as a way to improve products. But what you're saying is we need to be looking at it from the point of the customer, in that need to exceed expectations, and expectations rise every time. Therefore, value is malleable in its sense, in that value's only created when you exceed expectations, but those level of expectations are changing.
Despite the error of economic assumption, the excess over expectation does wonders for explaining the law of diminishing returns. Expectations rise constantly, therefore requires constant innovation and improvement to maintain the same value. Now, in terms of looking at it from the customer, appreciation is not just a nice thing to have, but the core purpose of business. The amount of appreciation determines the success of the business or organisation. We must switch from the old system, which looks from the seller's point of view, which is profit equals price plus cost, to be replaced by the new system from the customer's point of view. Appreciation equals excess over expectation plus expectations. Why do we add another expectations at the end? It's because if you don't fulfil expectations, you can't exceed them. For example, a pair of jeans that you buy at a shop, it doesn't matter how well they fit you. If they've only got one leg, you're not going to buy them.
So the book, Thankonomics, what does this mean for leaders? So leaders listening to this podcast, what can they take from this, and what can they do differently and measure differently in their organisation?
Well, what people need to do differently is make appreciation an integral part of the culture, and it needs to be measured as every interaction. The ultimate level of appreciation is love, or at the workplace, passion. Passion is the new nirvana, so leaders should focus on creating an environment that encourages people to be passionate about their work.
Andrew, I have to say this, you know, it's music to our ears as leadership coaches. This is the sort of thing that we talk to leaders about a lot of the time, is like, how you treat your people is like very, very, very important. And you're adding here a scientific fact to the outcome of that, that if people are appreciated and if they're thought well of and they in turn become really passionate employees, then they get this reward, and the company gets the reward, and the leaders get the reward. So absolute music to our ears. What would you say your three leadership essentials would be then?
Number one, make appreciation a fundamental part of your culture. Number two, leaders must create an environment where employees can be passionate about their work. Number three, essentially, any problem that you have is yours, and your staff are there to support you, and your role is to support them to support you.
So those three leadership essentials then are appreciation, passion, and to realise as a leader that those are the people that work for you and alongside you are there to help yourself solve your problem. So I think this is a challenge to you leaders out here, is that this is a big paradigm shift from how we traditionally measured value. And Andrew, with your book on Thankonomics and all the really, really useful tips in there, the challenge is, can leaders make that paradigm shift?
In terms of the subject of appreciation, we're certainly appreciative of you coming and sharing your story around the book Thankonomics. But I think it'd be amiss of us to not share an appreciation of you sharing your personal story. And I know we've skirted over you getting your Parkinson's diagnosis, but you know, we haven't had anybody on the podcast today that's been in a situation like you before. And obviously the world's getting more complicated. Leaders are having to deal with and been more open to having people from all walks of life with all kinds of health issues in their workforce, and getting them to understand that just because you get a diagnosis doesn't mean that you can't create and add value to an organisation. So the question that I'd like to ask you, just before we close out the podcast today, is what advice and tips would you have for a leader that's working in an organisation where somebody's perhaps had a really severe diagnosis with regards to their health? It might be Parkinson's, it might be MS, it might be something like cancer. But what would be your advice to them in how they look at it and how they support that person?
Steve Hawkins once said, it is to focus on what you can do and not what you can't do. I try and live by this, and I recommend anyone held back by a disability to follow the same advice.
So that's great advice for the individual. But what would you say to, you mentioned, and I know times have changed a lot, but it really made me sad when you said that when you got your Parkinson's diagnosis, you lost your job. What would be your advice for, as we're moving into a new era where people are a lot more open, what would be your advice for leaders on how they can be more inclusive and can almost help using work as a way to help people that have had a diagnosis and are disabled to get back on the feet?
The effect on the whole culture through the message sent to the stakeholders is that by helping someone in their time of needs creates far more value by inspiration, support, confidence and commitment rather than getting rid of them. A classic example was the Sheraton Hotel in Santiago, Chile, where the general manager dived into a swimming pool, was paralysed from the neck downwards. The owners of the hotel decided to support him as general manager and obtained 20 years of total fidelity, superior profits and long-term commitment from the whole team.
And he's still running the Sheraton Hotel today, about 20 years later.
Amazing.
So you get what you give.
Yeah, you get out what you put in.
Yeah.
So it's a fabulous book, Thankonomics. Do you want to just share with our listeners where they could pick up the book?
Yes, of course. The best place to learn about the book is the website, thankonomics.com.
Wonderful. Well, I mean, thank you so much, Andrew. I'm very appreciative of you sharing your time today. I'd really recommend the book to anybody that's listened to this and enjoyed it.
Yes, Andrew, I can only echo those sentiments. I mean, I think the value today is talking about appreciation, and we do really appreciate you spending your time and cycling here, 45 minutes each way, to come and join us on the podcast. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Building Better Leaders podcast, brought to you by Scaffold Coaching.